Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Remember, Paul said that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. I might not be able to rejoice in a lot of my circumstances. Sometimes in ministry, there's very challenging things. I can't rejoice in a lot of that stuff. But, you know, the wonderful thing is God's always the same. He never changes. And so finding our joy in Him.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, in a message titled, Rejoicing in God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, well, let's open our Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 5. And once again tonight, I feel led to just camp out on one verse. We did that last week, taking verse 8 and looking at that in detail and just, you know, looking over this passage and reading over it and having taught through it many times. There's certain things that just seem to stand out, and you think that we need to give just a bit more attention to some of these things. So I wanted to focus tonight on verse 11, and particularly what Paul says here about rejoicing in God. And I kind of alluded to that a few weeks back, and I want to develop it a little more thoroughly tonight. But you remember, as we came into the fifth chapter, we're coming out of that whole wonderful section on justification. And as we came into the fifth chapter, we're really looking at now the blessings that proceed from justification. And we were told there in verse 1, therefore, having been justified through faith, we have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access into this grace because of Him, this endless supply of grace that we talked about, that we stand in, that we have that because of our justification. And then Paul said, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so we talked about how that's a reference to heaven. We rejoice in the certainty that we have heaven in our future, the glory of God, that glorified state. But then Paul went on to say, and not only that, but we also rejoice in tribulation. And so we looked at the subject of tribulation and how God is using tribulation to prepare us for eternity. And so now as we come to verse 11, he says once again, and not only that, here he says, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. So Paul says we rejoice in God, in God Himself. Do we know what that means experientially? To just rejoice in God. How often do we find ourselves just simply rejoicing in God for who He is? You know, just putting everything else aside, just are we finding ourselves just filled up with joy in the person of God? Just to know that there is a God and to know who this God is. And of course, then to know that I've been, you know, saved by this God. But do we? How often do we find ourselves? Do we know how to be content in God alone? Just content in the Lord. Do we know how to be content in God alone? I think sometimes there's so many other things that we're looking for. They're maybe connected to God, but we're looking for those things for our contentment. And yet, it's possible and desirable to be content in God alone, or fulfilled in God alone, or satisfied with God alone. Are we like that? Or are we looking for our contentment, our fulfillment, or our satisfaction through something else? Again, it might even be stuff connected to God, but yet it's not necessarily God himself. Now, I must confess that in this area, I quite often fail. I have to admit it. And I get challenged in this area many times because I find myself failing to rejoice because of some circumstance or situation that isn't going the way that I hoped it would go, or the way that I think it should go. And in those times, the Lord will often challenge me with the reminder that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he ought to be enough. That those things that I'm sort of looking for to bring the fulfillment or the contentment or satisfaction, that those aren't really the things that I need. So you see, this is a common struggle for God's people. We subtly, and I think unintentionally, we sort of replace God with the things of God, the blessings of God. Those are all wonderful things, but they're not to become substitutes for God. I was talking to a friend of mine today who's a pastor. You know, he's battled with cancer and, you know, kind of gone through some difficulties. We were just talking, and I guess we must have gotten onto the subject of rejoicing in God or something, because he said, you know, I find myself a lot more interested in what God is doing through me than what God is trying to do in me. And I thought, yeah, I'm right there with you. I understand that. I know that. So often that's where I find myself. I'm thinking more about the things that God's doing through me, and God's saying, well, that's fine, but listen, I want to do stuff in you. I want to, you know, meet with you. One of the things that happens in the ministry, I'll just let you guys know that there are hazards to this occupation of being ministers of the gospel. One of the hazards, believe it or not, is to have just kind of a love and devotion and passion for the ministry to sort of eclipse your love, devotion, and passion for the Lord. It happens. It happens to some degree to everybody, at least at some time or another. And we've got to snap out of it, and we've got to get back and realize what's really going on. But it's a fairly common thing for pastors and people in church leadership and people in ministry to just get so in love with the things of the ministry that Jesus kind of sometimes gets pushed into the background. And I'll admit, I've been in many meetings and, you know, spent lots of times with guys who are pastors. And, you know, we've talked extensively about the ministry and about the things we're doing for God and the things we want to do for God and all of this kind of stuff. And then, you know, sometime in the midst of that, you suddenly think, well, have we even just stopped to just worship the Lord or to just express things to him on a personal level? You know, we're so into the work of God that we sometimes neglect the worship of God.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
This seems like it's what happened with the Ephesian church. Revelation chapter 2. Remember, Jesus writes those seven letters to the seven churches. He starts with the church of Ephesus. And as he, you know, begins commending that church, there were a lot of great things going on in the church of Ephesus. They were working hard. They were diligent. They were zealous to get the gospel out. They loved the gospel. They were orthodox in their belief. They contended for the faith. You know, when you look at the things that he commended them for, you just think, wow, this was a great church in Ephesus, like a lot of churches today. Jesus said, but I have one thing against you. And what was that one thing? You have left your first love. So they did as a church the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. We can all do it. We can have our heart set on the things of God, but we're missing the connection with God that he wants, that he sent Jesus to reconcile us to himself in order that we might have. And of course, it's the thing that we absolutely need. Remember, Paul said that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I might not be able to rejoice in a lot of my circumstances. Sometimes in ministry, there's very challenging things. I can't rejoice in a lot of that stuff. But, you know, the wonderful thing is God's always the same. He never changes. And so finding our joy in him, our contentment, our satisfaction. So how do we learn to rejoice in the Lord? How do we move toward that place like the psalmist was talking about when he said this, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. See what he's saying? He said, one thing. This is the one thing more than anything else I want. I want to be there just beholding the beauty of the Lord. Or as he would say in another psalm, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Listen to this. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So how do we get to that kind of a place? Or how do we move more toward this thing that Paul's talking about here in Romans 5:11, where we're rejoicing in God? We're rejoicing in God, and therefore, whatever's going on around us, it just sort of, it doesn't faze us necessarily, or it's not the thing that we're taken up with or burdened down by. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? And so easy to get burdened down by things that many times there are things we don't have any control over. As I've shared before, when I spend too much time, you know, watching the news or reading news reports or whatever, I get sucked into that whole world, and then I feel like I've got to do something about this. I've got to rectify this situation, or I've got to intervene, or, you know, of course I can't do any of that, but I start thinking about that. And then I start getting distracted. And I made the mistake tonight after studying of just kind of skimming over the news. So as I came in here to worship the Lord, instead of worshiping the Lord, in my mind, I'm thinking about what's going on in Madison, Wisconsin. I've never been to Madison, Wisconsin. I really don't care about what's going on. But I was concerned. And then I was thinking about that other article I read and that other video I watched. And you know, I was sitting up here tonight. I'm just like, Lord, forgive me. Get that. I don't want to be doing this. I want to be rejoicing. I want to talk about rejoicing in you. I want to do it right now. I don't want to be distracted by all of this stuff. But it happens to us. So how do we move in that direction? Well, I think it all comes down to getting a clearer picture of God. For it is when we see him for who he truly is, we can't help but rejoice in him and worship him. So it all comes down to just getting just a clearer picture, a better understanding that will lead to a deeper devotion and a greater experience. You know, if you think about this, you know, to put it all in perspective, God is, of course, the ultimate. He's the greatest. He's the most glorious being. And all of time and everything else is running toward eternity. And it's all going to culminate in the kingdom of God coming, the Son of God establishing his throne, God being all and in all. I mean, that's where it's all headed, right? And we've got this opportunity right now, before that all, you know, is finalized, we've got this opportunity now to meet with this God and encounter this God and get to know this God and fellowship with him and experience him. But here's my point. How much time do we give to that? How is it that we've got so many other things that we deem important to the point of negligence when it comes to God? If we could just get the right perspective of who God really is and, you know, where everything's going, I think it would help us to just see everything else in its proper light and be able to say, you know, that's fine for what it is, but, you know, I don't want to devote my life to that. Or that's fine for what it is, but, you know, right now, I've got another priority. I've got something else I've got to do. I've got something more important. I've got something much greater to do. I got to seek the Lord. I got to meet with God. So, what do we do? Well, what we need to do is we need to exercise ourselves to meditating upon the person of God and the works of God, to meditating upon it, and then to talking about it, and to then expressing to God our love through praise and thanksgiving and those kinds of things. So let's look at a few things here. Starting with meditation on God's power. To meditate on God's power. This is a way to get everything in perspective. It's a way to really begin to, you know, to some degree comprehend God better, but just to meditate on his power. How do we meditate on the power of God? Well, one of the ways that we can do it is by observation of his creation. Observation of his creation. We tend to be somewhat negligent about that today, especially those of us, you know, who live in cities and are, you know, preoccupied with so much of man's creation and, you know, those kinds of things. We don't take the time to really sit down and think things through, do we? But just to sit down and think about the power of God, think about it in the sense of the universe that we live in. Think about it in the sense of the solar system that we're in. Think about it in the sense of the planet that we live on. Now, I hated science in school. I was never oriented toward that at all. And especially when you get into the mathematical parts of it and all of that. So I'm not saying you got to, you know, get out your science book. But there is something to just, you know, getting a little bit of an understanding of the universe that we live in and the intricacies of it and you know, the solar system and the planet that we live on and the just the amazing aspects of all of this. So meditation on nature with the view of glorifying God as we observe nature and as we observe his power in nature, that's one of the ways to get a better understanding of who God is. And when we start to get a little bit of a grasp of this, it becomes mind-boggling. We read the psalm on Sunday morning, the heavens declare the glory of God and the expanse, the firmament, shows his handiwork. And you know, you hear all of these numbers about the size of the universe and the numbers of stars, an innumerable multitude of stars. And then you hear about the size of some of these stars that you could stick our whole solar system in, you know, carve out the middle of a certain star and you can stick our entire solar system in the middle of it with plenty of room to spare. And, you know, when you start getting an idea of the vastness of this thing and then you bring it back to, wow, God created this. And then you start to think, what kind of a God creates a universe like this? A universe that is just, it's beyond our ability to grasp it. That's a great God. That's a glorious God. And we're told about this God that he actually holds this universe in the span of his hand. So, you know, the universe is great. It's vast. It's unfathomable from the human standpoint. But to God, it's just a matter of a few, you know, what we would see as a few inches. So when I start to get a hold of this a little bit, I just start to think, wow, God is, he's so far beyond anything that I really could comprehend. I remember a few years ago, I was watching the little video called The Privileged Planet. If you've never seen that, that would be a great way to kind of get you going in what we're talking about here. But I was watching this video, The Privileged Planet, put out by the Discovery Institute, the guys up in Seattle, intelligent design guys. And the Privileged Planet, you know, it's looking at the universe and the galaxy and then the solar system and then coming out to Earth and just showing how Earth is unique. As far as anybody knows, there's no place like Earth. There's a lot of theories about, you know, multiple universes and things like that, multiverses, but those are just theories of people who don't want to, you know, they just ways to try to get around the obvious. So I'm watching this thing, and as I'm watching it, I'm just starting to get this sense of how great God is. And I have to confess, there was a moment where it became disturbing. It became disturbing to me. It's like, wait a second, this is too much.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
This month, the resource is When God Became One of Us, and you actually wrote this book. Can you tell me a little bit about the title?
The title of the book is based really on the theme of the Gospel of John. And the book is a 40-day devotional through John's Gospel. And of course, kind of the big theme of the Gospel of John is the fact that God became one of us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in this devotional, we take a journey through the Gospel of John, which you know is probably my favorite gospel, although I thoroughly enjoy the other three, but the Gospel of John has always been one that I personally favor.
One thing I love about this book is it's a beautiful book. It makes a great gift to buy for other people. It's very edifying and would make a great gift to give to somebody who doesn't quite understand why God became one of us.
You can order your copy of When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian for yourself or as a gift for a friend or family member at backtobasicsradio.com by scrolling down and clicking on the donate button. We appreciate your generous support for this ministry. For a donation of any size, we will send you a copy of When God Became One of Us, written by Pastor Brian. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.